السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. کنٹینیوئنگ ود دا بایوگرافی آف سیدنا عمر رضی اللہ عنہ. سو دا کنڈیشن آف دا مسلم اسٹیبلائزڈ آفٹر دا بیٹل آف بویب اینڈ دا پروونسز اسٹارٹڈ اوبیئنگ دیم. مسنا وینٹ ایز ہی ولڈ وے ایور ہی وانٹڈ ٹو. ہی ڈسٹریبیوٹڈ ہز کمانڈرز, فورٹیفائڈ دا آؤٹ پوسٹ اینڈ اٹیک دا ڈویلنگز آف پرشنز اینڈ دا عربز انڈر دیئر سوئی. One such attack was Khanafis, a bustling marketplace. Here he collaborated with the tribe of Rabi'ah, while Mudhar provided cover for the raid. They attacked the market and razed it to the ground along with its merchandise, while taking into possession the fruits and vegetables. Then he hurried forward and thundered down on the farmers of the Amber province in the early hours of the same day. He recited the following verses. We came to Khanafis in the morning with many camels, a locality more than a mile away from Khuda'a tribe's dwelling, with young soldiers from all regions. All generations are destroyed by the young men. We pounced upon their home and the horses raised to the ground, every eminent and proud chief. We destroyed their market and the horses roamed at ease, looking out for the evil of misers. Now obviously this is at the time of war, so you got to understand it. This poetry, etc., that is being read is at the time of war. Right? He sought help from the village chiefs of Amber and took guides from them as he made a plan to attack the market in Baghdad. He crossed the Tigris River and was upon Baghdad's market at the first light of day. He fought those who resisted his forces, and his troops took from the market what they pleased. Musanna had commanded them, do not take anything except gold and silver. No one should take more than what he can put on his mount. The Muslims loaded themselves with gold and silver and anything they pleased. They then turned back after the lightning raid. Upon reaching the river Sablahain, about 35 kilometers short of Baghdad, Musanna dismounted his animal and he said, people, come down from your horses. Complete your mission and get ready to advance further. Glorify Allah Ta'ala and ask him to keep us safe. After that, we must quicken our pace and do as you are told. Thus far, they had managed to cover about 60 kilometers on horseback. 60 kilometers on horseback is not easy, including the raid. Almost continuously since they set out towards Baghdad at twilight until they returned. Musanna felt that the troops and the animals both needed a rest. However, the soldiers were also aware that they had penetrated deep into enemy territory. Right? While passing through the ranks, he was walking through the soldiers now, he heard a whisper. Somebody is saying, the enemy is in pursuit of us. Enemy is coming for us, because they're in the enemy territory now. So Musanna immediately corrected him. He read to him the ayat of the Quran Sharif. Ya a'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu idha tanajaytum fala tatanajaw bil ismi wal udwani wa ma'siyati ar-rasul wa tanajaw bil birri wat taqwa wattaqullaha alladhi ilayhi tuhsharun. That, oh you who believe, when you hold secret counsel, do it not for sin and wrongdoing and disobedience towards the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but do it for righteousness and taqwa, and fear Allah unto whom you shall be gathered. First look into the situation and analyze it, then talk about it. Firstly, news of our exploits have still not reached their city. We did it so quick. Even if somebody had to leave to go to the main city to inform them, he never reached there as yet. Even if it were to have reached them, they would be too scared to think about chasing you. These forays sow apprehension that spreads by night and day. Even if they were to act upon the news, they would not be able to catch up with you, since you are mounted on purebred stallions, and your enemy only has steeds that are equivalent of lazy mongrels. you will be safely in your garrison and your comrades before they even get close to you. In the event they do track us down, you will fight them for two things: to get thawab from Allah Ta'ala and victory from Allah Ta'ala. One of two things, right? So have faith in Allah the Almighty and hope the best from Him. Indeed, Allah Ta'ala granted you victory in many battlefields when the enemy had greater numbers. Let me explain the logic behind my actions and what I wish to achieve from them. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the Khalifa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, advised us that during raids, we should shorten our stay and hasten the retreat. And even in other missions, try to return to base as soon as possible. So this explains the military logic of Musanna. He used to make carefully planned and calculated moves while having a deep belief in his mission. Every battle increased his knowledge. It increased his expertise, his insight. So this speech also reveals the rare military genius of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, because he learned from Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So we learn from here that, see, the leaders of the Muslims were not only to give Jummah khutbah and make kufars and all that. No, they were people of war. They were people of jihad. They were people of understanding. They were people who could govern. Allah Ta'ala gave them all of this because of their taqwa. Allah guided them. They didn't have to go to some college or something to learn it. Allah Ta'ala guided them because of their taqwa. So Musanna was a student of the philosophy of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So presently he got up and ordered the troops to mount. He led them along with the guides across wilderness and rivers until they reached Ambar. There the village leaders welcomed and honored them, rejoicing at his safe return. He made it back to the garrison. He had promised them his favor in the event of victory. One of the village leaders said, "Musanna fought a battle in Al," is another name for Ambar, "which was witnessed by a tribe of men, a battalion which the Khosrow fears to face, as if his court would be torn apart by it. The Muslims were emboldened when they became alerted. Lessons are learnt by practice. Musanna opened the floods and they followed his tracks, and such matters are indeed pursued." So Musanna expanded the ambit of his raids to northern Iraq, to the point that his range now extended from the extreme north of this region to its extreme south. So the whole country from north right to south. He organized raids on Kibath, whose inhabitants were from the Banu Taghlab tribe. They vacated the place and ran away. When they saw the Muslim army coming, they left and they didn't want to face the Muslim army. They ran away. The Muslims chased them and caught up with their remnants. Right? He also sent raiding battalions towards other dwellings of the Taghlab and Namir tribes at Siffin. Right? So these tribes, all along, they had been the allies of the Persians. So this is why he went after them. Musanna bin Haritha was the commander of all these raids after Buwayb. Huzaifa bin Muhsin at the vanguard, and two Shaybani officers, Nu'man bin Auf bin Nu'man and Matar, at the flanks. These are the four leaders. It so happened in one of these raids that his forces found the enemy at Tikrit, the name of a place, Tikrit in Iraq, wading through water. The Muslims gained a lot of spoils from this raid, such that each soldier got a share of 5 cattle, 5 slaves, and a portion from wealth, meaning gold and silver. Right? The spoils were so numerous that he was even able to distribute it generously among the people of Amber also. The citizens of Amber, where the headquarters were now, he distributed to them also. So much spoils they got. Upon returning to Amber, he sent Furat bin Hayyan and Utaybah bin Nahas to Siffin in order to raid the dwellings of Namir and Taghlab over there. He appointed Amr bin Abi Salama al-Hujaymi the commander of Amber, which now acted as his forward base. And he himself proceeded after his two lieutenants. He sent these two people, so he went, he proceeded after them towards Siffin. When they neared Siffin, Musanna detached himself from Furat and Utaybah, those two lieutenants who he sent forward, he detached himself from them. The residents of Siffin fled the battle, crossed the Euphrates to an island, and barricaded themselves in that island. There were small battalions from the tribes of Namir and Taghlab, whom Furat and Utaybah pursued. Some of them ran into the water and were barraged with volleys of arrows by the Muslims. They started yelling, "We are drowning, we are drowning." The two lieutenants goaded their men to shoot the arrows at the enemy in the water, telling them they deserve to be drowned because they burned their enemies alive. The Persians, when they used to get hold of the prisoners of war, they used to burn them alive. So the Sahaba told him, "You all deserve to be drowned. All the zulam you have made, you are being drowned. You all used to burn people alive." The news of this incident reached Umar radiallahu anhu. So Umar radiallahu anhu used to have informants in each army, because he is the Amir al-Mu'minin. He needs to know what is happening. He needs to also keep a check on the people that he put in charge, that they mustn't do anything wrong. Sometimes you can be doing something you think it's the right thing for you to do, but that may not be the best thing for you to do. Now if the information goes to Umar radiallahu anhu, then Umar radiallahu anhu can teach you, you know. Or if he feels no, the Amir needs to be changed, he will change the Amir. So he recalled both Furat and Utaybah to Madinah Munawwara and investigated the matter personally. That did you all do this? When these people were in the water and they were screaming that we're drowning, you all told the soldiers must carry on shooting them and tell them you all deserve to be drowned. Did you all do this? So they informed him that they should be drowned for burning alive their enemy. Right? This was like a proverb, you know, in Arabic. They said they intended only to use it as a proverb and to bring glory to Islam, not to inflame un-Islamic vengeance. It's not like we are taking like now revenge or something, but we wanted to like, it was just said as a proverb, you know. Umar radiallahu an asked them to take a qasam that what they're saying is true, which they did. Umar radiallahu an believed them and told them to return to Iraq with the army heading there under the command of Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu an. You see Umar radiallahu an, how careful he was, that as Muslims now, we mustn't go off. Allah Ta'ala is giving us victory, is everything. Now we mustn't become proud. We mustn't commit zulam. Whatever we do, we must maintain high morals. High morals. Musanna exploited the splendid success that the Muslims scored at the Battle of Buwayb by following it up with daring raids on the markets of North Iraq and simultaneously applying chasing tactics on the enemy. Example, the tribes of Taghlab and Namir. His inherent skills as a military leader enabled him to consolidate the Muslim might 400 kilometers or more deep into the north, not to mention the expanses of the area east, west and south of his axis. Slowly, slowly, he's taking more and more of Iraq. More and more of Iraq is coming under Muslim rule. There is no doubt that these operations caused the Persian government to lose face in front of its people, because they were supposed to be a superpower, and now these people are just taking over here. And it weakened the trust that the people had in the state's ability to defend them from these attacks. Because these people are just going and attacking, and the state can't do anything about it. Right? And then these attacks are being done by a people whom the Persians used to look at them with scorn, with contempt. That these Arabs, they say, hey, they are like barbarians. We don't want to even rule over them for free too. If somebody has to give us to rule over the Arabs for free too, we won't rule. And that's why any areas on the border regions where the Persians took over, the Arab, you know, on the border regions of the Arab lands, they would not rule that place too. They felt it below their dignity to rule it. They used to appoint Arab tribes who were their allies that you all rule over there. That we, they feel it below their dignity to even rule over the Arabs. And now those same Arabs, now they got Iman. And now they got Allah's help. And now what they're doing here in Persia now. Incidents like the one undergone by Namir at Siffin could not have passed without creating a reaction. Right? So obviously now the power in Persia, they have to react to this thing. Now they have to do something. Their leaders gathered, and now they're having a meeting. They're shouting Rustam, and they're shouting Feyrazan. Right? That look where this dispute has landed us. It has weakened us, and it has enticed the enemy to attack us. Before, nobody had the courage to be the superpower. Nobody can attack us. No one is responsible for this except a military commander like you. They're telling Rustam and Feyrazan. You have caused the Persians to split and held them back from the enemy. Your might is not of such proportions that Persia would let you have your way and let itself be destroyed in the process. By God, now whichever God they worshipping, he said, by God, you are only waiting for them to descend upon us and finish us off. What is left after Baghdad, Sabat and Tirkit except Madain? All the major cities are going. By God, you two should unite. So you see this, Rustam and Feyrazan, they had their own dispute, political dispute. So the two of you need to unite. Otherwise, we will start with your destruction before we are destroyed. By God, if we did not know that killing you would lead to our own destruction, we would have killed you right now. If you do not stop, we will put you to the sword, and then we will be destroyed after having got rid of you. After this grinning, Rustam and Feyrazan went enraged to Queen Boran. They upset now, they went to the queen. They asked her, summon the wives and mistresses of Khosrow, along with the wives and mistresses of his sons. So she complied and produced the official decree. The women were sent for and brought to the two commanders. They handed them over to men who tortured them to garner information about the whereabouts of Khosrow's male offspring. Where is Khosrow's male? Where is his sons? However, none of them knew where they were. At last, one woman mentioned that only one son survived. His name was Yazdegird. He's the only one who survived. This man was the son of Shahrir. That means Khosrow's grandson this is. Khosrow's son's son. She told them, his mother belonged to Badoria. Badoria was west of Baghdad. They arrested her. These people now, they arrested her and they asked her to produce her son, meaning the Khosrow's grandson. At this time, Shahri's brother, Shahar Weh, one is Shahar Yar and the other one is Shahar Weh. Right? So Shahar Weh was the brother. He was the occupant of the White Palace. He had come to power by sheer intrigue, having killed all the male offspring of Khosrow, right? Because he had 17 brothers. This Shahar Weh had 17 brothers. So he connived with his brothers and they killed all the offspring of the Khosrow. Right? So that's how he became the king now in the White Palace. Hence now, no one could claim ascension to the Persian throne except him. So this Yazdegerd's mother, she ran away because she knew if they get her son Yazdegerd, they will kill him also. Right? So she ran away with the son and hid the son among her maternal relatives, her mother's family, in another province. Right? Now those whom Shahrwa had slaughtered included her husband also. This Shahar Yar, Khosrow's son, from his favorite wife Shirin, right? This Shahar Weh killed him also. Right? Now this is his son, this Yazdegerd. The interrogators forced her to tell them about her son's whereabouts. They then sent for Yazdegerd and brought him back to his homeland as the only surviving male of the Sasanian dynasty. Right? So they made him the emperor now. So you are the emperor because they believe in ascension. The father dies, the prince becomes the king. In Islam, it's not like that. In Islam, the one who is the most worthy of the position is given the position. Right? The Persians rallied now because he was the Khosrow's son. Now everybody came united under him. Right? So the Persians rallied around him in unity, supporting and obeying him sincerely. They saw him as a ray of hope that now all this political struggle and all the in-house fighting and everything will end. The new emperor, Yazdegerd III, enforced his authority with the support of Rustam and Feyrazan. He reinforced the outpost and garrisons of Khosrow. He formed an army for each outpost, one for Hira, one for Amber, one for Abla. Right? In the meantime now, Musanna, he got his informants to check now what's happening. So they kept him informed of what Yazdegerd is doing now. So Musanna wrote to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu about these developments and that he is now having this apprehension that there is going to be a strong counter-offensive now. These people are going to come back now, they want to fight. Umar radiallahu anhu agreed with his evaluation of the situation and wrote back to him. But Umar radiallahu anhu's reply had not reached him as yet, when the masses in the countryside started apostating and rebelling against the Muslims. You see now all those farmers and all those villagers who were now friendly with the Muslims, now when they sing, no man, we got our Yazdegerd there and the armies are all coming again powerful, so they say, no, we're on the wrong side, now we need to flip on the other side now. So they start leaving Islam. So they were not, Allah, we can't judge anybody, but by what we seeing is that they even didn't accept Islam because of sincere iman in their hearts. They accepted Islam because they say this is the winning side.
So whichever is the winning side, they're on that side. Now they see, no, this other side looks like they're becoming more powerful now. So now they want to go to that side. So these included those tribes that had entered into peace pacts with the Muslims. Right? That now we won't fight one another and all that. Right? The Persians accelerated the insurrection by goading those tribes into rebellion, who were living under Muslim protection. They were now living under Muslim protection. They were paying jizya. So now the Persian telling them, no, you must rebel against them. When Musanna saw this, he realized that he had advanced far too much, and he rendered his forces too thin. Because now when you got such a big area and you got limited people, now your forces are spread out. Now you thought you got the support of the people here, but now when they're turning against you, now you're in a problem. So it was unfeasible to hold on to the gains with the current level of forces at his disposal. Hence he retreated. He retreated with his troops to Dhiqar, a place in Iraq which belonged to the Arab tribe Bani Bakr bin Wa'il. So he did an intelligent thing. He gathered his forces. So now the forces are all together. They're not vulnerable now. Right? So they gathered at a place called Tuf as a single garrison. Right? Umar radiallahu anhu was even more cautious. So he, when his letter came now, they read his letter. Umar radiallahu anhu's instruction was, leave the dwellings of the non-Arabs. Head for the desert. Come totally out of it. Go to the desert. Spread along the water course, which is near the non-Arabs, on the border between your land and theirs. Do not leave anyone from the tribes of Rabi'ah, Mudhar, or any of their allies from the Najatat. Now that was a set of Arab tribes. Except that you conscript them. Let them enlist willingly or exile them. They must either enlist, they're happy to be with you, but if you see them, exile them, send them away. Don't keep them there with you. Because they can turn against you then. If the non-Arabs mean business, then let the Arabs be serious too. Counter their determination with your own. Stay among them near the border until you receive further orders from me. Right? So this was Umar ibn Anu's instruction. Musanna camped at Dhiqar and distributed his forces at Jul on the road towards Qadisiyah and Sharaf towards Hudayy. He also spread his forces along the water course from one end of the desert to the other. From Hudayy near Basra to Qut'utana near Kufa. He established outposts. Right through he established outposts. These outposts were within line of sight of each other. Not so far apart. They can see one another. Such that they would have been able to help each other until reinforcements arrived. Right? On the other hand, the Persians returned to the places in Iraq where they were ousted from. They now returned and they reconstructed their garrisons. However, now they were overawed because you must know they experienced fighting the Muslims. They know what losses they incurred. So they got fear in them now. On the other hand, the Muslims were as ferocious as a lion who snaps at his prey and then counter-attacks. Right? Musanna's commanders carried out their jobs according to Umar ibn Anu's instructions, waiting for reinforcements. This happened in the last days of Dhul-Qa'dah, just before Hajj on 13 Hijri. Right? English date is January 6, 35. Right? Umar radiallahu anhu said, by Allah, I will hit the non-Arab kings with the Arab kings. Then he wrote to his governors and officers in the tribes and provinces in Zulhijjah, the 12th month, when the Hajjis now started leaving their homes to go for Hajj. Hence, the advanced parties of those tribes came to him who dwelled on the road to Makkah, Mukarramah and Madinah Munawwarah. The road from Iraq was closer to Madinah Munawwarah, and those on this road reached him on their return from Hajj and told them that there were other tribes who would come soon to see him. There are more tribes still going to come. As for those tribes that were closer to Iraq, they went to Musanna. They went direct to Musanna because it doesn't make sense for them to come all the way here and then go all the way back. Umar radiallahu anhu did not leave any chief, any opinion maker, any noble, any influential person, any orator or poet, except that he asked them to participate in this impending invasion from the Persians, exhorting them publicly. Publicly, he said, you must join this jihad, join this war. Right? So this was the build-up now to the Battle of Qadisiyah. If you don't know the build-up, then you won't really appreciate the battle itself. Right? So now we've got the whole build-up. And now, inshallah ta'ala, next, when Allah ta'ala gives us tawfiq, we will discuss now the Battle of Qadisiyah. Allah ta'ala gives us tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته